The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
We're going to confront and counter Marxism in our society today. You'll be shocked to see how far it's gone.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you got some good family time, some good rest time. But here we are, time to roll up our sleeves and get back on the front lines of the battle. Michael Brown, delighted to spend this time with you. I believe today's broadcast is going to be eye-opening and very helpful. Now, if you'd like to weigh in as we get into the content, you see where we're going. If you'd like to weigh in, the number to call is 866-34-TRUTH. Once again, I want to invite you to call if you differ with my view of the war in Israel today, Israel's war against Hamas, if you differ with my perspective about Israel in prophecy today or the identity of Israel or promises to Israel, if you differ with me on any of those subjects, I welcome your calls today at 866-34-TRUTH. All right, so when we talk about Marxism, you might think, well, that was like communism, and that was like the Soviet Union, and that's past. And the world is getting more and more capitalistic, and even a communist country like China has to be more and more capitalistic to thrive and survive. And Marxism, that was tried, it was failed, and we've gone beyond that. We've kind of thrown that at as a society. Not true. Not true. What happened is that the radical Marxist ideologies that took root in the hearts of many young people in the late 60s, in the 60s into the 70s, these young people now became influencers, became college professors, became leading academics. And what for many years was just in kind of the fringes of the academic left, which for many years was just kind of out there, has become the norm, has swept through society. Now, I'm going to bring this all together. I wrote an article that's on our website. You can read it called Down with the Colonizers that will crystallize a lot of this for you, and you'll understand why I'm talking about this today. You can read it at AskDrBrown.org on your app, on the Ask Dr. Brown Ministries app. Just click on Read for the latest articles, and you'll be able to see this Down with the Colonizers. And I'll share some of it with you on the air today. But let me step back for a moment and ask you a question. Do you remember after the killing of George Floyd that there were not just protests, BLM protest rallies around America, but around the world? Did you read about that? I was just looking last night, researching for the article I was writing, and I mean, you had protests in South Korea, you had protests in Denmark, you had protests in Bulgaria, you had protests all around the world. Do you honestly think that people in so many nations suddenly cared about a man named George Floyd whom they didn't know? Do you really think that was the case, that suddenly they became so compassionate, that suddenly they were really concerned about injustices that may be faced by Black Americans today, and that's a big concern to people in South Korea? That was a big concern to people in Bulgaria? That was a big concern to people in Denmark? I don't think so for a split second. I don't believe that's what primarily animated those rallies around the world, those BLM rallies around the world, and even much of it in America. I don't think it was this tremendous solidarity with African Americans and hey, if we have more and you have less, we want to share with you. I don't think that's what was happening. In some cases, yes, people were concerned and felt there is injustice, etc., and they were standing together. But for the most part, I don't think that's what was animating it. Now, let's move over to the pro-Palestinian protests around the world today. What's animating those? What's causing those to take place? Is it this tremendous sympathy for the Palestinian people, this tremendous concern for the well-being of the Palestinians? I don't think that's the case worldwide either. Now, many Muslims protesting, there may be more concern, but hang on for a second. Why is it to this day? Someone explain this to me. To this day, if you go to Syria, if you go to Lebanon, there are Palestinian refugee camps in Syria and in Lebanon. Why aren't they fully absorbed? They've been refugees their parents, grandparents, they've been refugees since 1947, 1948, or some since 1967. Why haven't they been fully absorbed? What about all the other refugees? Show me around the world where you have multi-generation refugees. You don't, because they get absorbed into different countries. There was the boat people crisis, people fleeing from Vietnam, late 70s, early 80s, folks in my church, Nancy and I had the privilege of having them live in our home for years, and they became part of our families. Well, now they're American. Their kids are American. And the kids and the grandkids speak English better than they speak Vietnamese. They're absorbed here or in other countries where they fled. The Jewish refugees that had to flee when they were kicked out of surrounding Arab Muslim nations, 1947, 1948, they were largely absorbed in Israel, others in America and other countries, and that's where they've been. They've been absorbed. That's what happens with refugees, people displaced by war. Why is there still a Palestinian refugee crisis? Why has it grown from hundreds of thousands to multiplied millions today? Why is it you can go into the West Bank, into areas governed by the Palestinian Authority, and you have Palestinian refugee camps there? I asked Palestinian Christians when I was there, and I didn't get a satisfactory answer. Why is it in Gaza there are Palestinian refugee camps? Within Gaza! If there was this great concern for Palestinian refugees, then why, in the aftermath of 1948, when you go into the 50s, why did the Arab League say we will not give them full citizenship? Why didn't they say, okay, we'll absorb them in Jordan, we'll absorb them in Egypt, we speak the same language, we have the same religion, we have much of the same culture, they'd be absorbed here. If there was this great concern for the Palestinians, there would not be an ongoing refugee crisis. I don't believe that's what's animating a lot of the protests. Now, for sure, what's animating a lot of the protests today is Jew hatred. I understand that. And anti-Zionism that demonizes the Jewish people. You say, Dr. Brown, you're going to talk about Israel again? You better believe it. You better believe we need to shout out more loudly than ever. And you'll see why as the broadcast goes on. Lest we want to live in a day similar to the days at the beginning of the Holocaust and the early stages of that, lest we want to live in a similar day as Jew hatred is rising around the world, and we're silent also. God forbid. God forbid. But what I'm talking about is broader than that, and it affects us right here in America. Moms, dads, young people, listen carefully. Christopher Rufo, in his book, The American Cultural Revolution, How the Left Conquered Everything. Listen to what Rufo says. He says, although the left-wing cultural revolution had self-destructed in the third world, over time it found a new home in America. He says, over the subsequent decades, the cultural revolution that began in 1968 transformed almost invisibly into a structural revolution that changed everything. And he says, today, America's cultural revolution has reached the end game. The descendants of the new left have completed their long march through the institutions and installed their ideas into social curricula, popular media, government policy, and corporate human resource programs. Their core set of principles, first formulated in the radical pamphlets of the Weather Underground, so these were terrorist groups in the late 60s and 70s, in the radical pamphlets of the Weather Underground and the Black Liberation Army, has been sanitized and adapted into the official ideology of America's elite institutions, from the Ivy Leagues to the boardrooms of Walmart, Disney, Verizon, American Express, and Bank of America. He says the critical theories of 1968 have turned into a substitute morality. Racism is elevated into the highest principle. Society is divided into a crude moral binary of racist and anti-racist, and a new bureaucratic logic is required to adjudicate guilt and redistribute wealth, power, and privilege. To enforce the new orthodoxy, he says, left-wing activists have established departments of diversity, equity, and inclusion across an entire stratum of the public and private bureaucracies. Allies are rewarded with status, position, and employment. Dissenters are shamed, marginalized, and sent into moral exile. He says the student radicals eventually from the 60s and 70s, eventually abandoned their armed revolution and transformed themselves into patronage, seeking academics, activists, and bureaucrats. Over the span of 50 years, he says, the Cultural Revolution has slowly lowered its mask and revealed its hideous face, nihilism. These are some of the destructive forces that we are up against. You say, okay, how does that then tie in with BLM protests? How does that tie in with the pro-Palestinian protests today? Now, let me say carefully, where there is injustice in society, we have to confront it. Where there is inequity, we have to deal with it. And where Palestinians are mistreated, we have to address that as well. That's not my issue. My question is, why are people rallying all around the world about BLM cause when people all around the world, they don't care about the fate of blacks worldwide, black men and women worldwide. They don't care about that. They're not concerned about the slaughter of black Christians in Nigeria at the hands of Muslim radicals. No, they're not concerned about that. Why is it the death of a African-American in the United States? Now, that gets them concerned because there's something bigger going on. The same thing, people all around the world are not that concerned about the Palestinians. Otherwise, like I said, there would not be a Palestinian refugee crisis at all. Palestinians would have been absorbed into new places, new cultures, and would have gone on making a life for themselves. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Here's what's going on. Here's the narrative. This is a battle against the white Europeans. This is a battle against the colonizers. This is a battle of the oppressed class against the oppressor class. The oppressor class represented by America, by white Americans in particular. The oppressor class seen as, for example, European Jews who came to Israel, to Palestine, and to go back to their ancient homeland. This is what it comes down to. The oppressor versus the oppressed. So African Americans or all others who are not white Americans, and then you add to the list of intersectionality until you get more and more and more marginalized, meaning that you are more and more oppressed, and then whiteness itself is guilty. And then in Israel, the evil colonizers, the Palestinians obviously being the oppressed class, and the evil Israeli colonizers, add in Jew hatred, add in anti-American hatred. That's what's fueling these fires. That's why the uproar around the world. It really is Marxism at work. It really is. Once more, where there is injustice, we address it. That's not the question. I've got some quotes that are going to be really eye-opening when we come back. Just getting started. By the way, Wednesday, our special guest is going to be my buddy, kid brother, as I call him, John Cooper, front man of Skillet. Yeah, you hear the music. You're going to hear it momentarily as we fade in and out with Skillet music. Here it is, the voice of John Cooper. You're going to hear him talking about his new book on Wednesday, and he'll get into this as well. He's got some great insight. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well. I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss, for some foolish reason, a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
No Pelea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you have not checked out these great Trivita products, really, I encourage you to, for your own health, well-being, a great supplement to healthy eating, living, and even if you're not there yet, get started. Get started with this investment in your body, then hopefully pick up the healthy eating and living as well. So call 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. And remember, your funds get turned right around. Trivita donates them right back into the ministry here so we can reach more people. So you get to make an investment in your own health and well-being. Maybe get it for a relative, family member at this time of the year, and you help us expand the reach of the Line of Fire. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. If you differ with me on my stance on Israel today, I would love to have a friendly dialogue with you about it. If you differ with what I'm saying here about these issues, phone lines are open. So I'm not taking general Bible questions today, but if you differ with my biblical understanding of Israel, the promises of God, etc., 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Ah, okay, I see we got a former Zionist on the line. Camille, I want to talk to you shortly, so please stay right there. So I want to share with you from my article, Down with the Colonizers. There's a book called Not Stolen. It's written by Jeff Finn Paul. The full title of the book is Not Stolen, The Truth About European Colonialism in the New World. I'm just going to scroll down towards the end of the article so you don't misunderstand what Finn Paul is saying in his book, Not Stolen. He says, though we now find it difficult to believe, the extent of European cruelty toward Native Americans was well-researched and publicized before the rise of social media. He says, thus, it was common knowledge among historians that Europeans were responsible for population decline, forced conversions, provoking wars, countless treaty violations, the Trail of Tears, the California Indian massacres, the extinction of the buffalo, racial prejudice and discrimination, confinement on reservations, and continued marginalization of many Native groups. So he's not denying any of that. He's not saying that didn't happen. He's saying we've known it. That's, historians have known that, and we're not denying that. But what he's talking about is a radical rewriting of history. He's talking about a narrative where things get shifted in dramatic ways. Now, listen to what he has to say here. This is, again, Jeff Finn Paul, his book, Not Stolen, The Truth About European Colonialism in the New World. And I'm saying it's ultimately this spirit, this mentality that is driving the DEI movement, diversity, equity, inclusion, that movement in America with the new oppression that brings with it. And again, just coming out of the Marxist playbook of the oppressor versus the oppressed and the protest, the pro-BLM protests were not so much compassion for George Floyd or solidarity with African-Americans as much as pushing back against the evil colonizer, the oppressor class. It's the same thing with the pro-Palestinian protests, which fusing a lot of it is not just Jew hatred and some sympathy for Palestinians here and there. A lot of it is fighting against the oppressor class. It is the Marxism working its way out again. So Jeff and Paul says this, the origins of today's radical anti-Europeanism, the same anti-Europeanism that has gone mainstream in the past few years, lie in the intellectual ferment of the 1960s and 70s. Again, this is from my article, Down with the Colonizers. As new left campus Marxism reached a high water mark in the 1970s, Marxist historians began a concerted assault on the foundations of American history. The problem with American history, from their perspective, was that it made capitalism look too good. American democracy empowered the people. Its melting pot welcomed anyone, everyone, albeit not without serious friction, and its economic system rewarded hard work more often than not. Marxist historians, therefore, determined to rewrite American history to show their version of the truth, that America was a system rooted in unrelenting oppression. The radical American historian Howard Zinn popularized this. Finn Paul explains, in Zinn's view, history always consists of precisely two groups, the oppressor and the oppressed. The system perpetuates conflict between these two groups, ensuring the domination of one group over another. In Zinn's pessimistic view, oppression, rather than freedom, was the very foundation of the United States and its Constitution. Thus, critical feminist scholars discovered that history revolved around males oppressing females, while critical race theorists discovered that history revolved around the oppression and slavery of black people by white people. Post-colonial theorists accordingly discovered that history revolved around the oppression of the indigenous peoples by Europeans. Soon, critical intersectionality theorists lumped all these identity-based oppressions together, discovering that wealthy, straight, white, European males were the ultimate oppressors in history, while poor, black, gay, or gender-fluid indigenous women of color were the ultimate victims. So a lot of the marches, a lot of the protests, it's down with the colonizers. And the same with Israel, that they are being presented as European colonizers of the native peoples. Friends, it is a common thread, common element. Now, I came to these conclusions on my own, just looking at this, and then noticed an article by Kyle Morris on Fox News, and he said the anti-Israel movement roiling major American cities and college campuses following the outbreak of Israel's war with Hamas bears a striking resemblance to other movements favored by social justice activists, experts suggest. And Morris quoted Chris Rufo, who said, the left-wing academics who have been cheering on violent decolonization against Jews have been pushing the same hideous rhetoric against whiteness for years. Same ideology, same hatred, same bloodlust. Rufo said that the academic left treat the Hamas fighter as a noble savage who symbolizes revolt against the West and through whom the academic can experience the thrill of violence. And he explained that the fighter is seen as the physical embodiment of the jargon decolonization, resistance, power. Time, he says, to connect the dots and fight it together. He's absolutely right. It's exactly what I concluded looking at this. And again, I wish there was actually more sympathy for the Palestinians in a constructive way. Because what's amazing is you have all these worldwide rallies and Muslims around the world chanting on their behalf and supporting Hamas, and even Muslims in Sydney, Australia, chanting gas the Jews, and among other things. Yeah, I mean, just profane, horrific, and ugly, despicable. And yet, when Palestinians have been surveyed, Palestinians in Gaza said they feel alone. They feel isolated. When I was at an anti-Zionist, in my view, even anti-Semitic, Christ at the Checkpoint conference, I think in 2018, as the one pro-Israel speaker that they would have at each conference, and I lovingly confronted them. I went to everything they asked me to go to, tours of Hebron, meeting with young people, hearing them, hearing their heart, hearing their perspective, and it's burdensome. I care. And some of them are fellow believers. Of course I care. And their feeling was that they're isolated, they're alone, that whereas American Christians are standing with persecuted Christians in other parts of the world, that here Israel, they're the one that's persecuting them, the one that's oppressing them, that Christians in America are standing with Israel instead of standing with them. And how upside down is that? And how wrong is that? So they often feel isolated. They often feel alone. That's their perspective. The fact is, there is not tremendous worldwide sympathy for the Palestinians. There is worldwide Jew hatred to the point that Hamas gets praised and Israel gets blamed for a massacre. That, think of this, within days of it happening, people trying to deny the severity of it. It's one thing to deny the Holocaust when you have eyewitnesses to this day, when you have all the video archives, all the photo archives, all the records, when you have this massive amount of evidence that people have sought to deny the Holocaust all these decades, within days of the October 7th massacre taking place, with all the body cam evidence and the funerals of the people and the bereaved and on and on and on, people trying to deny that, it should indicate to you that something more is going on, friends. This is a spiritual battle. This is an ideological battle. And we better face it together, because ultimately it's not just Israel's war. It's our war. It's a war for freedom. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going straight to the phones when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear, testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together, and with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275, or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today. AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, just looking at the latest news of more hostages released, I'm glad to see this happening. It's still overwhelming to think of these terrorists taking babies, little children, hostage, and some children are being released now, but their parents were slaughtered. I mean, we cannot for a second forget, let it come out of our mind, the depth of evil involved, the depth of barbarity involved. Journalists who've seen the footage and describe what they've seen, it's unnerving. They can never forget it. And the spirit of it, the Hamas terrorists and just other Palestinians who joined in, we now know, even holding hostages that weren't even formerly part of Hamas, that just joined in the slaughter, taking selfies and beheading people and shouting Allahu Akbar. Of course, many Muslims say it's a perversion of our faith. Well, shout it out. Shout it out more loudly, by all means. And, you know, just one journalist said it was like Columbine, except multiplied over and over, that these young people just going on murderous rage and barbarism of every kind. Nothing to do with war. Nothing to do with war whatsoever. In any case, let's continue to pray for God's intervention. With that as promised, we go to the phones in Chicago. Camille, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Well, I had a ministry, a pro-Zionistic ministry for about 10 years. I've been saved since 1976. And in the last, I would say 15 years, I really had to question my position about Zionism. There's a difference between being pro-Zionist and anti-Semitic. You can be pro-Semitic and not pro-Zionistic, and that's where I find myself today.
So what caused the shift, Camille?
Well, I studied and studied and studied. I feel like I agree with you about the left wing and this mass movement. I don't trust mass movements on the right or the left. Mm-hmm. I think that people are being manipulated on both sides, and Christians are being dragged into this, and it's taking us away from our primary duty.
Right. So anything that takes us away from loving God and loving our neighbor is problematic, right? But it's very, you could understand, though, let's say in the days of slavery, that you'd be very consumed with fighting against slavery for the sake of the slaves and for the sake of the honor of the Lord's name, since many slave traders were professing Christians, that maybe you're not sharing the gospel with every single person every day because you're also fighting against slavery. I think that's honorable in God's sight, right? There are causes that we should address, and there are times when we have to join together to address them. You know, if we lived in the Holocaust, in the days of the Holocaust in Germany, it's not just a matter of, hey, I'll just share my faith with people. No, there's people being slaughtered, and it's a travesty, and God hates the shedding of innocent blood. So
yes, here's the thing, though. It's very, you know how much fake news there is today. I mean, it's a full-time job trying to suss out what's really going on, and I'm not even sure that I'm able to do it, and I'm at home. I don't have to work, and I have internet, and I've studied relentlessly, and I still don't feel like I can get to the bottom of some of these things. I think it's very easy, I mean, to spend more time on the internet trying to figure these things out than to study the Word of God. Now, in my day right now, I have to say, if I was going to stick up for one side or the other, I tend to feel that the Palestinians are the oppressed.
Right. So Camille, here's the question. When God said in the Old Testament repeatedly that he would scatter the Jewish people because of sin and disobedience, but in his mercy, he would preserve us and regather us and bring us back to the land. And,
yes,
and we've seen it happen in front of our eyes, even when he indicates...
But I don't believe God did that, sir.
Well, who did
it? I don't believe
then?
This movement is not of God.
It?
I've studied the Zionistic movement. It is secular to the core.
Well, number one, that's not entirely true. It's partly secular. But let me just back up and ask you this, okay? If God scattered us, right, and no one can overturn God... No, is anyone more powerful than God?
No.
Okay, so if God curses someone, they can't say, well, I'm just going to be blessed because I want to be blessed. If they're cursed, they're cursed, correct?
Right.
Okay, so if he scattered the Jewish people in his anger, then who regathered them?
Themselves. People are allowed to rebel. He lets us rebel.
It's not rebelling. It's overturning God. That's the whole point.
He lets us do that, too. He lets people do all these things.
No, he doesn't. When he curses, no one can bless. When he blesses, no one can curse. Otherwise, he's not God. That's the whole problem here. You're attributing divine power.
What did Paul call the Jews? He said they were beloved because of the fathers, and they were enemies. They are still the enemies. The secular, unbelieving Jews are still enemies to the gospel.
Well, who's arguing with that?
Camille, let's go back to leave my position of studying the Bible and serving God and evangelizing. And by the way, I did that for, I passed out 10,000 tracts pro-Israel. I'm not going to leave my position in Christ to go fight a secular battle.
It's not a secular battle. It's a spiritual battle.
It is a secular battle.
So I'm wrong then. 52 years of study of the Word, and you want me to abandon that for your position?
Well, how about Lenny Brenner? What about 51 documents? It's a secular state.
Camille, you want me to abandon 52 years on my knees before God, not continually, in the Word, only wanting to please Him and honor Him, and whichever way the Word goes, I go. You want me to abandon that because you came to a different conclusion?
You want me to abandon my position?
No, all I did was ask you questions. I want to go back to this, okay?
Yes.
What's the use of God cursing a nation if they can just say, well, be blessed instead? Then there's no curse, correct?
Well, who are you saying is cursed, first of all?
When God cursed Israel.
Anybody that does not, Genesis 12:3?
No, I'm not, Camille, I'm not saying that. You're reading stuff in, I'm just asking general statements. Okay, when Jesus says, I'm opening a door before you that no one can shut, can anyone shut that door except God?
No.
Okay, when he says, I'm going to scatter you in my wrath to the nations, and there you will suffer, can people regather themselves and overrule God?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't consider this gathering
the
to be of God.
It doesn't matter what you or I think. It's a matter of what's written. He said, I will scatter and I will regather, and no one else can do it. We don't have the power.
He doesn't preclude them gathering themselves.
Of course he will. Then you overrule God. That's what you have to come to grips with. You overrule God.
I think you're putting hairs here, but...
It's nothing to disagree on or agree on. The question is, okay, when in Leviticus 26...
You know, the Antichrist is going to put himself in the temple, too.
Correct, as it's written.
We do a lot of things that we shouldn't do, and God allows us to do a lot of things.
But God is going to gather Israel. So does the sea have the power on its own to just come in and flood the world? Or has God set up boundaries?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so when God sets a boundary, people can't break it, no matter what they try to do. Here's what you have to reckon with, Camille. Like it or not, the God who scattered the Jewish people is the God who regathered them. That's the only way we're back in the land. Even if we're regathered, if you believe we're regathered for judgment, whatever, it's the only possible way we're back in the land is if He regathered us, because He scattered us in His judgment. And if we could just come back whatever we wanted to, then His judgment has no meaning to it. So Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, when He had curses for disobedience and Israel disobeyed, they fell under the curse, they couldn't turn it. They couldn't be blessed because He said, you're cursed. And then when He said, you're blessed,
well, you can curse them. I see your point. I don't exactly agree, but the point is that they came in, they were a tiny group when they came back. Zionists has been building up since the 1890s. Some very questionable people were involved in this thing. And they have treated the Palestinians horribly, okay? And this is taking me and others of us away from what we are supposed to be doing. You are manipulating us to try to get us stirred up to fight a secular battle, and I am not going to do it.
No, I'm calling people to fight a spiritual battle. I'm calling people to recognize Satan is seeking to wipe out. I'm telling you what I'm calling. You can say what you're calling people to do. I'm telling you what I'm calling people to do, okay? I'm accountable for my life. You're accountable for yours. That's why we're having this conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I am calling people to recognize there's a spiritual battle. I'm calling people to recognize that it's the devil who wants to wipe the Jewish people out. I'm calling people to recognize the ugly spirit of anti-Semitism that polluted Christianity for years.
Well, I think that's been really overblown, and it's also being used as a gag rule on people. Every group, I'm a white woman, I have to criticize white women, women in general, and white women. It is my job to, you know, and there are many Jews that disagree with Zionism, and Max Blumenthal is a really good example.
Yeah, but he is such a propagandist.
Man.
Okay, he is such an unbelievable propagandist. You disagree, but you can't disagree with what the word says. The God who scattered the Jewish people is the God who brought us back. We do not have the power to regather ourselves. He used a man like Cyrus. Cyrus was an idol worshiper.
Yes, I agree.
God said of Cyrus,
But you
don't allow God to use a secular person today?
Let's drop that point because I don't quite agree with you, but it does not make the rest of what you're saying accurate.
Okay,
we do not have to support Netanyahu right now. We do not have
you can
to
differ
support
with Netanyahu
what
all you
doing
want.
Right now.
Differ with Netanyahu all you want. Some of my best friends in Israel blame Israel's present difficulties on Netanyahu. They despise him. Some of my Messianic Jewish friends wish he was not leading, was not in power. So again, you're reading stuff into what I'm not saying, but I want to challenge you to do two things, Camille. Number one, think about the point I'm making. If God scattered, no one can regather. It's a simple fact. It's a fact of Scripture. The Jewish people are back in the land one reason only. God regathered us. Then read Ephraim Karsh, Palestine Betrayed. You want to know who's hurt the Palestinians? The Palestinian leaders. The Palestinian leaders. If it was up to the Jewish settlers, people would be living in peace to this day. That would be the case side by side. The Palestinian leaders rejected every two-state solution that's been offered. Read Ephraim Karsh, Palestine Betrayed. Start there.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss for some foolish reason a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
Nopalea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I appreciate that conversation. Exactly what I asked for. Obviously, we have our differences, but to me, this is all about a spiritual battle. That's why it's of such importance to me. I recognize what Satan's seeking to do in the earth today. And above all, I call my Jewish people to salvation in Jesus. That remains the biggest, greatest goal of all. And I want to see justice and fairness for everyone in the Middle East, Israelis, Palestinians. And as I've said endlessly, I can never say it too much, Palestinian blood is just as precious in God's sight as Israeli blood. And the death of a Jewish child is just as grievous as the death of a Muslim child. That's my heart, and that's justice and righteousness and mercy in God's sight. And that's why I stand where I stand, because of justice as well as because of Scripture. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, just a reminder, all of our friends listening to our great Salem radio stations in Chicago, in Dallas, and in Phoenix, we've got some great new programming coming your way in the new year, so you'll have some different times and things like that to be tuning into the broadcast. But so as to not miss this show live with your calls, make sure you just download our app, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, ASK Dr. Brown Ministries. Be sure to download the app, and this way, wherever you are, you can catch the latest broadcast and not miss anything live or after the show. All right, we go over to Boston. Joseph, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Dr. Brown, you've spoken to me several times before. I'm actually a friend of David Costello that you debated before, just to let you know. But
David who?
Costello, the Hasidic messianic that you debated a while back.
Oh, okay, the non-Jewish guy that claims to be Jew.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, I remember.
Yes.
Got it. Yep, yep.
And that's why I brought that up, because I went from a phase of, you know, hardcore Zionist, both political and religious, to just being a religious Zionist. However, you know, when it comes to Marxism, when I went to Israel, I learned all about the kibbutzim, that, you know, they were mainly Marxism or political Zionists. I'm more of a religious Zionist, and I'm actually in a catechumen in the Eastern Orthodox Church now. So I've really changed my positions on a lot of things. And I really think that Marxism, as Camille said, it's a political issue, but I do believe it's an evil anti-God thing, but it's also, there's a bigger philosophical problem behind that, that led up Hegel, all of the many philosophers, Nietzsche, all these philosophers that led up to all that. But I think that will get solved in the end times when Christ returns and establishes his kingdom. I don't think that Israel can be established politically. I think it has to be established basically how we know it should be established.
Yeah,
Return of Christ.
Yeah, ultimately, Joseph, for sure, the ultimate answer is going to be the Jewish people turning to Messiah and Messiah establishing his kingdom. And I believe that while it's good to have peace, and to the extent, you know, the Abraham Accords were going forward, and other potential peace with Saudi Arabia and others, to the extent that that can move forward, that's positive. But ultimately, I don't see it lasting. I don't see a lasting earthly peace until there's an embracing of Messiah. So in that sense, there's a spiritual battle that's the ultimate battle that we're fighting. So in the meantime, I'm still going to seek to do what's right and advocate for truth and righteousness and justice in the midst of the conflict. But yeah, we agree. That's the only hope. The Palestinians now have been tremendously radicalized by what they've been brainwashed with, by mistreatment of leaders, by mistreatment from Israel, whatever's happened over the decades, and then the constant indoctrination and misinformation that they're spread. So they've been very, very radicalized to the point that 75% of Palestinians surveyed, both West Bank and Gaza, supported the Hamas atrocities of October 7th, which is very scary. I also look at them, I'll say this last thing, sir. I also look at them in a sense as real victims, because yes, they have been radicalized, but they're victims in ways that people in North Korea are victims. There's so much misinformation, there's so much isolation. There's so much that they've lived through that is just going to give them a viewpoint of evil Israel, and that will then tie in with radical Islamic anti-Israel views. But then here, too, it's ultimately a spiritual battle. Hey, Joseph, thanks for calling in and sharing your spiritual journey. That's obviously a whole other subject, but we won't get to that today. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for the call. I want to read one thing to you. I told my friend Rabbi Shmuley I would read this on the air today. This is a full-time ad that Shmuley's organization took out. And Shmuley and I are in dialogue about what we can do, not a debate, but what we can do coming together to say what Jews and Christians can do in common to stand with Israel at a time like this. But full-time full-page ad today. This is the eulogy delivered by Rabbi Dr. Yechiel Leiter for his son, Major Moshe Yedidia Leiter, at his graveside after he was murdered by Hamas terrorists in Gaza on November 13th, 2023. So here's what it says. Dear President Biden, as you and I have two important things in common, I am taking the liberty of speaking to you from Jerusalem. The first commonality is that we are both from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I still have my bank account at the PNC Bank on Joe Biden Boulevard. My mom, may she live and be well, still lives in Scranton, and my maternal grandparents are both buried in Scranton. The second thing we have in common is that as of last Friday, I, like you, am a bereaved parent. You lost a son, and I've lost a son. You know, Mr. President, better than most, the pain that I'm feeling now, the harrowing sense of darkness, the stabbing at the heart, the longing to once again hug your boy, to talk to him about life, to advise him on his career. There's much I can tell you about how special he was, his 15 years in special forces, med school, manager of two businesses, educational institutions, and father of six. His last son, born just 3 months ago, will never know his father. But the purpose of this note is not to share my personal grief. I'm taking the liberty of speaking to you because our nation is in grief. What I want to say to you about my dear Moshe, who is proud of his parents' and grandparents' American heritage, was that he was fighting your fight. Mr. President, he was fighting our fight. He gave his life so the terrorists wouldn't get through the gates of our democracies, of our Judeo-Christian Western values. He was fighting for human freedom and against all the lies and distortions of the freedom deniers, who unfortunately fool so many Americans with their double talk. He was fighting against Hamas, ISIS. There are rumors that you are putting pressure on Israel to hold off, to cease the offensive. If those rumors are true, I hope they're not. But if they are, Mr. President, I respectfully ask of you here on my son's grave to cease and desist. Stand back, Mr. President. Don't pressure us. Let us do what we know how to do, indeed what we must do, to defeat evil. This is a war of virtue against depravity, of truth against lies, of civility against murderous terrorism. Take it from one plain-speaking Scrantonian to another. We're going to win this one, with you or without you. We're going to win it hands down because we're a people of survival, and this battle is one of survival. Never have the people of Israel been so united. This is our job. It is what the Jewish people are here in this world to do, to help fix it. Sometimes fixing the world means using strength and military power. My Moshe died for a cause, the cause of our age. Please stand with us, Mr. President. Perhaps, just as we read in the biblical book of Esther, it is the whole reason you are the leader of the free world at this particular time. Your long and illustrious career of leadership was in preparation for this very moment. Those who stand with us will be blessed. Those who do not stand with us will fall. Stand with Moshe, who loved America and even trained with your Delta Force during his army service. Stand with my son, who loved his people, his homeland, and who gave his life in the name of civility, justice, and morality. Respectfully yours, Dr. Yechiel M. Leiter, Israel. You know, what a powerful, moving eulogy. What a powerful message to President Biden. So we understand the massive numbers of bereaved on all sides now. Yes, it's true that the only numbers that we get released are from Hamas in terms of Palestinian casualties. Generally speaking, they have a history of exaggerating, and they don't tell you how many people killed were Hamas terrorists or fighters joining with them, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or other groups like that. We're not told that, but for sure, I said this when the war began, for sure there will be more Palestinian casualties than Israeli casualties at the end. Why? Because that's the way Hamas sets it up. That's the inevitability. If Israel is to fight Hamas, with Hamas putting rockets in elementary schools and in hospitals, with Hamas using babies and children as human shields, with Hamas stopping people from evacuating so they can get out of the way of the bombing. The only way Israel can defeat Hamas is with great civilian casualties, as much as it does its best to avoid them. What's wild, though, is that you've had war for decade after decade after decade, and countries fight back as they feel the need to fight back, and the world does not get involved, so we can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. It seems only with Israel are these demands put on them. Israel will continue to do what it can to minimize civilian casualties among the Palestinians. Hamas will do what it can to continue to maximize civilian casualties, because that only helps their cause and turns the world more against Israel. What an evil, demonic strategy that must be exposed and uprooted. So, friends, this is ultimately a spiritual battle. And I want to urge every one of you to take a sense of responsibility. You're living in days, except they're global, that are similar to the days leading up to the Holocaust. We talk about, oh, what we would have done, or there should have been more Bonhoeffers. Well, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? I'm urging you. I'm challenging you. I'm encouraging you. I'm exhorting you. Recognize the spiritual battle and do the right thing and respond with truth. In Jesus' name. You can't resist us!
Another program powered by the Truth Network.